Joel Isaiah Alvarado is probably the most interesting player in Smash history. He's won a major tournament in 2005 at the age of 19, and he's also won a major tournament in 2023 at the age of 38. He's the only player in Smash history to be so good that he would have to intentionally handicap himself at major tournaments in order to make it more interesting, and he would still win. He's considered one of the greatest players of all time in multiple Smash games, including being considered the greatest Smash 64 player of all time. Now, while Isaiah is known as a legendary 64 player, he first started becoming known as a Melee player in the early 2000s, as competitive 64 wasn't really as much of a thing back when he first started. In fact, he was one of the pioneers of modern Captain Falcon in Melee, and he was incredibly ahead of his time. Extremely old videos of him playing versus Ken and other top players from all the way back in 2005 show him incorporating advanced techniques into his gameplay, such as shield dropping, ASDI, SDI, ledge dashing, and even Hacks Dashing, technique which was literally named after Captain Falcon player Hacks, and he did this 7 years before it was even called Hacks Dashing. While commonplace now, these techniques weren't widely used at all until way after 2005. But despite his clear talent for Melee, Isaiah didn't really care or have the motivation to be the best. In fact, he's basically the Smash pioneer for what is now known within the community as sandbagging. Sandbagging is the act of going into a match and essentially not trying your hardest to win it, either by picking a bad character that you're not well versed with.
Oh no! I feel like he gave up!
What?
My man's gave up! No way!
Straight up trolling, or just basically not trying. And Isaiah was infamous for this.
I don't believe you, Isaiah!
Now, sandbagging is actually relatively controversial. While it can lead to some hilarious moments, it's known to occasionally cause frustration from tournament organizers, spectators, and opponents, especially if they actually lost to the person that was sandbagging.
Worst place to go. Worst place to go. Oh, no handshake.
He's mad, dude.
But people typically didn't get mad at Isaiah, because he wasn't doing this to disrespect or anything along those lines. He just legitimately didn't seem to care. In fact, he's one of the biggest what-if stories in Melee history, as generally when he would give it his all, him and Ken, the king of Smash, and the best player of the 2000s, would go even, or Isaiah would come out slightly ahead. It always has, and probably always will be, a hotly debated topic as to how good he really would have been if he actually cared about Melee and had the drive of someone like Mewtwo King, for example. By far the best example of just how good Isaiah is when he actually tries is his performance in Melee Doubles. Doubles isn't really taken as seriously nowadays, but at the time, it was actually considered to only be slightly less important than singles. While singles is 1v1, doubles is, of course, 2v2. And with every player having a teammate, this changes the dynamic of sandbagging significantly. While sandbagging in singles isn't super uncommon, sandbagging in doubles definitely is. It isn't typically done unless both players are doing it, as by sandbagging in doubles, you're also dragging down your teammate with you, who possibly wants to try to win. So Isaiah notably would virtually never sandbag in doubles or crew battles, and so Isaiah and Ken, his doubles partner, would win very often. This is probably the strongest doubles team of all time, as it was the two best players in the world, and it was an actual dedicated team with great chemistry, as opposed to just the two best players impromptu teaming up at a tournament. Isaiah and Ken in doubles were insane. It was legitimately unfair. They're just so far above any other team of that time. But Isaiah in singles, however, is just so bizarre. He'll dominate one game and then get completely obliterated in the next three, while being unable to do basic things like wave dashing and recovering with Captain Falcon's up B. But when he did try, it was amazing. There's no question that when he did, he was the best player in the world. These moments, however, were extremely rare. He generally would need some sort of motivation in order for him to do it, like the famous Mel set at Most 3.
Because this girl was going to be there, you know, one of his Smash 64 friends. I think her name is Melissa, so that's why he always had the tag of Mel. And Melissa was actually cheering him on. And I really think, like, if she actually went to every tournament and supported Isaiah in like his singles career, he'd probably be the best. I think he became a Super Saiyan in that tournament.
In fact, back in my compilation days, I actually made a video covering this. And there's so few examples that it's not even a top 10. It's a top six. Isaiah's nonchalance towards melee is made even more evident by his trademark quote, "Don't get hit." As with any good player, Isaiah was frequently asked by people that he would beat for advice on how they could do better. While some players might take this opportunity to go on a complicated in-depth explanation on what the opponent should do, Isaiah would always respond simply with three words, "Don't get hit." This ended up becoming an extremely iconic phrase, and to me, this quote is the perfect representation of Isaiah's mentality and his attitude towards the game. So it was pretty clear that his heart wasn't into Melee, but there was one thing he did enjoy. While competitive Smash basically began with Melee, there was a Smash game that was released prior, Smash 64. And since the start, Isaiah had loved this game. He was all about it. To Isaiah, despite all the talent he had for it, Melee was actually just secondary to 64. However, competitive 64 was extremely underground. While it was relatively popular in Japan, in fact, it was actually more popular than Melee there, in the West, the game only really started having sizable tournaments in the early 2010s. And it wasn't just that he liked the game, he was also extremely good at it. He would play literally every character on a regular basis, and he made countless discoveries and advanced the metagame for every single one. Just like he did in Melee with Captain Falcon. And early on, he was so good that there was basically no one that could even come close to him. And with how underground the game was, Isaiah had very few people he could consistently play with. He got most of his practice against level 9 CPUs. With the insanely small number of people that played 64 at this point, let alone were actually good at it, Isaiah was always looking to find new players to face off against. And luckily, there were several places that featured small concentrations of extremely good players. In the entire world, there were two regions that were both extremely strong and where Smash 64 was their primary game, as the majority of regions in the late 2000s understandably were mostly playing either Melee or the recently released Brawl. One was the previously mentioned Japan, and the other was a small city in Peru called Tacna, which basically started as a small group between a bunch of competitive friends, who then eventually grew to become some of the best players in the world. Despite the fact that Isaiah resided very far away in California, his search for new players to face led to him visiting both regions from 2006 to 2011, with him visiting Japan multiple times and Peru once. Isaiah went and recorded footage of himself playing all of the best players of each region, where overall, he completely dominated. But he also recorded matches of the players of these regions playing against each other, which was extremely significant with how scarce recording setups were at the time, and how little footage existed of these regions, compared to nowadays, where basically every single local is streamed and recorded. At this time, people basically just had to go off of what members of the specific region were claiming online, in order to know any details about the scene. And the contrast of seeing these matches showcasing the insanely strong regions facing off in some of the most intense high-level matches between themselves, and then the Isaiah matches where he, basically some random guy, just comes in from outside their scene and completely destroys them is like something out of legend. However, my absolute favorite one came from when he went to Tacna in 2011. Smash 64 has this thing known as a 12-character battle. With 64 having the smallest cast of any Smash game, it weirdly enough allows for a luxury that the other Smash games don't have. The ability to have a match against another player with every character in the roster in a reasonable amount of time. Hence why it's called a 12-character battle. Basically, you and your opponent pick any character from the roster. Then you face off until one of you runs out of stocks. Then that character is no longer available for them to select, and they're forced to pick another character from the roster, with any stocks they took from their opponent before losing carrying on to the next matchup. This continues until one player is completely out of characters, kind of like a one-on-one crew battle. And this is actually taken relatively seriously. It's considered to be the best test to show who the strongest and most well-rounded player is. These typically will take about an hour or two to complete, depending on how close the two players are in skill. And this is only really commonly done in 64. While it has been done in Melee, where it's referred to as a full roster Iron Man, If the players were evenly matched, this would take forever, as Melee has over double the characters of 64. But obviously trying to do this in Ultimate, which has over 7 times as many characters as 64, would probably take like a day. It's not reasonably doable. These 12 character battles are the reason that 64 players are generally the best with multiple characters out of any Smash game. There are very few one-trick ponies. Basically, every high-level 64 player will be good with multiple other characters or the entire cast. And Isaiah was the king of this, with him beating some of the best players in the world on their best characters with absolutely terrible ones. Some of the worst in the game, with relative ease, including 12 character battles where he lets his opponent have their own main 12 times and he had the whole roster, against players like Prince, one of the best Japanese players ever, and Mariguas, the best Mexican player ever, and he still won.
Is this it? He gets us. Oh, he does it. He pulls it out with two socks.
This trip to Tacna, though, features my absolute favorite. Tacna was considered to be possibly the strongest region in the world, and he did a 12-character battle against the entirety of their insanely stacked scene, where they had their pick of putting the best player they had of each character up against Isaiah, meaning he would be facing Gerson, their best Pikachu main, Capitan Tavo, their best Falcon main, Estradon, their best Kirby main, and so on, all by himself in a 12-character battle. Now I know what you're expecting. With the knowledge that you're currently watching a video highlighting Isaiah, you're probably expecting me to say something like he beat them pretty handily with several characters still remaining. Well, that's not what happened. Because he didn't beat them handily, he absolutely obliterated them, winning with not one, not two, not three, but 6 of 12 characters still remaining, including taking 20 stocks with Blink alone, and 14 stocks with Yoshi. This is even despite the fact that at the start, Gerson actually beat Isaiah in the Pikachu Ditto, and then took 4 stocks off of his Kirby, leaving Isaiah pretty much without the 2 best characters in the game. But it didn't matter. This demolition was so severe, it actually had a somewhat adverse effect on Peru's reputation. As opposed to people recognizing that Peru is extremely strong, but Isaiah is just that good, instead, many players just dismiss Peru as being overrated and not being as good as people were saying, and moved on. As this was actually the first time an international player had traveled to Tacna to take them on, which obviously is a pretty rough first impression, but it is Isaiah. And it wasn't until Super Boomfin and Mariguas traveled there in 2014 that the reputation of Peru being overrated started being disproven, as Mariguas, one of the best players in North America, went 0-2 and finished in last place. And Super Boomfin, the best player in North America besides Isaiah, was double eliminated by Pikachu player Marka. This still to this day is maybe the most impressive display I've ever seen in any Smash game, and it pretty decently sums up just how good he was, with there being countless more examples very similar to this. If there is a legendary Smash 64 moment, there's a very good chance Isaiah is at the forefront of it.
Mariguas brings it back even 2-2.
Two
apiece.
Look at Mariguas.
He's pointing. Done. He says Isaiah is done.
Isaiah is
the call
done,
out.
He says.
Just
great.
Jumped out of it. The shield jump.
This is
Isaiah
on
stage. Oh, no. Oh, he does it. Oh, my goodness.
What?
I can't believe that worked. Has no idea what just happened.
It's pretty clear that he would have won basically any tournament, but he chose not to make it easy. While he liked entering and competing in tournaments, he didn't play them in the traditional ways. He favored challenging himself and having fun over winning. So he would often commit to picking low-tier characters for entire tournaments, no matter what.
How come you decided to switch to characters, and what was the choice behind DK?
I haven't played DK today. So I thought it'd be fun.
Nice.
The characters that are considered viable in 64 and most capable of winning a major tournament, especially nowadays, are Yoshi, Fox, Falcon, Pikachu, and Kirby. But Isaiah would frequently dominate and win tournaments with low-tier characters, Link being one of his favorites. Now, Link is very bad, considered by some to be the worst character in the game, although Luigi and DK are also pretty rough. But Link genuinely has the worst recovery of any character in any Smash game, Little Mac included. And in general, even though 64 doesn't have any absolutely terrible characters like Melee or Brawl, as it has the most balanced cast of any Smash game besides maybe Project M, Link is as close to unviable as it gets. However, Isaiah literally won a major tournament with Link.
This is big. This might be it.
The winning edge got... Oh, wow! My god! That
what
was
a
so
finish
ballsy.
By Isaiah. Wow.
Won Apex 2014, the biggest 64 tournament of all time at that point, with solo Jigglypuff, and placed second at the previous two iterations of Apex with Mario and Link respectively. Now, Isaiah didn't just handicap himself with his characters, he also handicapped himself with his stage selections. See, these early Apex events are the first times top Japanese players traveled to North America to attend a major tournament. Despite how strong Japan was, they did have one massive weakness, and it all came down to how they played the game. To say that the way they played 64 in Japan was different to North America would be a huge understatement. In North America, until about 2015, they played tournaments with four legal stages, double elimination, meaning you had to lose once in winners and once in losers to be eliminated, with sets being best of three, sometimes best of five later on in the tournament. However, in Japan, they played with only one legal stage, Dreamland, and single elimination, meaning if you lost once, you're out of the tournament, with sets being best of one, meaning you and your opponent face off in one game, and the winner of that game progresses in the tournament, although Grand Finals was often best of three. I actually love this format because this means every single game from round one of the bracket to Grand Finals is extremely high stakes. And this is part of the reason that most of the best Japanese players are known for being extremely clutch, as it's basically a requirement.
Down five. Four. Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Wakira! Wakira! He steals it! He steals it from Dexter!
And if the rule set wasn't enough, Japan also played on a version of the game that was vastly different, with the US version being released 3 months after it, and having a ton of changes. Similar to how until the late 2010s, Melee was played on both the NTSC and PAL versions of the game, depending on which region you were in. Some changes between these 64 versions weren't so significant, but others were extremely significant. And it's even harder to escape combos, something 64 is already infamous for, because DI is much weaker. They also made widespread changes that impacted the strength and viability of every character. Ness is considered significantly stronger in the Japanese version, for example, so the difference in the game and the rule set would obviously be very jarring for any Japanese players. Isaiah, however, was a true gentleman. Even though he notably loved Hyrule Castle and would almost always counterpick to it, when he would face Japanese players, he would always counterpick to Dreamland. At Apex 2013 in particular, Isaiah, playing Mario, faced off against Japanese Kirby player Kikoshi in Winners and Grand Finals. And across the 10 games they played, every single game was played on Dreamland. Isaiah eventually finished second after resetting the bracket 3-0 in Grand Finals and then losing 3-1 in the second set. Isaiah genuinely just loves 64 and wants to have fun, and he wants the exact same for his opponent. And now, although 64 does have an extremely dedicated community for its entire history, even now, it's always been very small. And the major tournaments are incredibly infrequent. While Melee and Ultimate will have multiple tournaments a year featuring all or most of the best players, 64 will have one at the absolute most. And a lot of the time it won't even have all the top players from Japan and Peru. And a 64 tournament can't really be considered the penultimate tournament unless it features both the top player from Japan and the top player from Peru. This is pretty similar to how for a lot of Melee's lifespan, a tournament couldn't really be considered penultimate either, unless it featured all five gods. And while four of the five gods resided in various places across the United States, making it relatively easy for them to attend a North American major, Armada lived all the way across the Atlantic Ocean in Sweden, making it much more difficult for him to make it out to major tournaments. Fortunately though, Armada had the resources, including a sponsor later on, and increased income from streaming and tournament winnings that allowed him to make it out to many major tournaments. And there have been 12 such tournaments with all five gods in attendance. 64, however, has never had that luxury. the massive distance between the best regions, and the infrequency of the major tournaments, there have been very few tournaments that actually feature all of the best players. It's incredibly expensive to travel from Japan or Peru to the United States, paired with the fact that there's basically no money in being a 64 player, and in Japan, there is literally no money in it, as due to Japan's anti-gambling laws, Japanese 64 tournaments are not allowed to have prize pools. So these players generally either need to pay out of pocket or be crowdfunded, and there have been very few of these tournaments in 64's lifespan. In fact, it's only happened 4 times in the history of 64, all being in recent years, and all being at the major tournament Super Smash Con. The first 3 were won by the top player in Japan that respective year, but the 4th was just last year. See, we've now reached the modern era of 64. Times had changed. The level of competition and skill for 64 had increased massively, especially in North America. It wasn't just Isaiah on top by a massive margin anymore. You even had new age players like Wizrobe actually competing and winning major tournaments.
This is so intense.
Oh, he went there. This is a opportunity for music here.
Here we go.
Oh my god, this is it!
That's it!
Oh, Wizrobe
takes the Incafest!
It takes it with an awesome
That
game
was amazing!
And there were players like Super Boomfan that just looked borderline unstoppable by anyone that wasn't either Isaiah, Japanese, or Peruvian. And Isaiah was now a 38-year-old married, grown-ass adult, very far removed from the teenager he was when he first started. But even despite all the time that had passed, his love for 64 still persisted. And with the level of play increasing so significantly, he actually decided to try, marking several tournaments where he would play exclusively high-tier characters and legitimately try to win.
Until that's gonna do it.
With
Isaiah.
A 4 stock.
3-0 over Prince.
First making it to 3rd place at Super Smash Con 2022, one of the 4 previously mentioned tournaments that featured both the top player from Peru and Japan, where he was eliminated in Game 5 of Losers Finals by Chilean player Nax.
Gets it up.
Huge combo, and that's gonna be it! Nax takes it with the 3 stock!
These tournaments are an interesting experience. Isaiah clearly is giving it his all. He's actually showing legitimate emotion, shaking his head when he makes a mistake, and showing actual excitement when he gets a big win. This is pretty far from what his reaction used to be back in the day when he would achieve big wins, or when he would suffer losses.
Wow. Oh, but he survives anyways!
Oh,
he's dead!
Kikoshi
he's dead.
Has done it!
Cheers to the crowd!
Kikoshi has defeated Isaiah,
deep breath.
Your Apex 13 champion.
Making it clear just how invested he now is into winning. And finally, Super Smash Con 2023 came around, the 4th instance of a tournament having both the top Japanese player and the top Peruvian player. Isaiah started off by winning his pool that featured the rank 11th, 13th, 21st, 22nd, 28th, 45th, and 48th players in the world without dropping a single game. He then beat Yoshi player Stranded and moved on to the next round to face Super Boomfan. This would be Isaiah's first big test of the tournament. Boom had cemented himself as the best player in North America prior to Isaiah's reemergence, getting first place at countless major tournaments. And with 64 players being much stronger with multiple characters, it's much less common for top players to just play one character for an entire tournament. And 64 matches can often come down to counterpick battles. The rule set had also changed. It was no longer 4 stages, the stage was now always locked to Dreamland. And players that can play multiple characters are always trying to get a leg up on each other.
So he's gonna make a switch.
Tacos, he switches to Jigglypuff. I think he wants to force a character change from 0.
That's so interesting.
So since they can't counterpick the stage, it's not incredibly uncommon to see sets with character picks like this, for example. And a counterpick battle is exactly what happened in this set with how close in skill these players are. Isaiah opened with Pikachu and Boom with Kirby. Isaiah took game 1 with a timeout, and after 3 games, the match count was 2-1 in Isaiah's favor. But Boom switched over to Yoshi and completely wrecked Isaiah for game 4.
Oh, look at this. Beautiful, destructive.
That's gonna lead to a 3-0. Let's go.
He was winning so hard, he was actually BMing despite still being down in the set.
Everybody plays him a little bit differently.
Look at those taunts. You gotta feel yourself.
But it worked. Isaiah then counterpicked to Kirby for game 5, which is considered a very good counter to Yoshi.
You just asked Boom if he's staying Yoshi.
Oh!
And he does.
does it.
Isaiah's Kirby
picks to Kirby.
And the strategy for Kirby versus Yoshi is pretty simple. Stick to the top platform and take advantage of Kirby's broken hitboxes. As every game is played on Dreamland, there isn't the option to pick a stage that has no top platform like you can in every other Smash game. So in order for Yoshi to win, he has to find some way to overcome this, which is extremely difficult. And the counterpick worked out, as Isaiah won game 5 with relative ease.
Wow. So Boom gets thrown into losers at Winner's Corners. I feel bad for anybody in losers.
His next matchup would put him up against Kiyoshi, one of the greatest 64 players of all time, the current number 2 in Japan, and the winner of one of the previously mentioned Penn Ultimate tournaments.
But Kiyoshi gets it, the plat drop up air, the
tech
reset
chain.
Off the down air, the forward air,
do it.
And he did it! Kiyoshi has done it! He is SmashCon 2019 champion!
Playing 5 games against Super Boom Fan, and then immediately afterwards having to play a best of 5 against Kiyoshi is a Herculean task. And as was expected, the first 3 games of the set went down to the absolute wire.
One, and he just misses the back air!
The roll, so he gets the grab!
The magnet hand from Pika, and he can just grab ledge.
Wow.
Can't keep getting away with this.
Oh, here we go, the up air from Kiyoshi, the down air.
Good DI.
Isaiah stays on stage, Tex in place.
Oh, and this is trouble for Kiyoshi. Oh, the edge guard is successful!
Getting up there in percent. A grab might do it, a back air to ledge, so close.
Let's see if we can get an edge guard here.
He hits him with the Thundershock and a forward smash! Isaiah
3-0!
Isaiah clutched out every single game on the last stock to take the set 3-0. This put him in winner's finals against Karaba, the previously mentioned number 1 in Japan. This would be his toughest matchup. Karaba was definitively the number 1 player in the world, and he was the winner of the previous Super Smash Con. Now, while Isaiah had the Kirby counterpick for Yoshi, Karaba's Yoshi was a whole different monster, as he is a Yoshi solo main, and the 2 best Kirby mains of all time were Japanese, and he has experience with both of them. And even just 1 round earlier, Karaba had solidly 3-0'd Nax, one of the best Kirby players in the world. Isaiah stuck with Kirby, and from the very start, Karaba had solid control of the game. He was turning every single opening into a stock.
Parries the F-smash, carries Isaiah off stage into a runoff there, and he's up 2 stocks.
Isaiah's Kirby was getting completely dominated, and he was behind basically the entire set. He managed to barely squeak out game 3.
Shield break! He gets it! The F-smash right at the edge of the platform. Down tilt, and he gets it. And he stays alive in the winner's bracket.
But ultimately it didn't matter, and Karaba took the set 3-1 to knock Isaiah down to the loser's bracket.
That's going to be trouble. Wispy isn't going to help, and
Boom,
that's going to do it.
Karaba takes it.
Here he would face Boom's Yoshi in loser's finals. And right off the bat, Isaiah made an interesting decision. Although he had handily beaten Boom with Kirby to clutch out the last set, and although Boom had beaten his Pikachu with Yoshi, Isaiah still decided to pick Pikachu. His loss against Karaba had made him realize one thing. Kirby wasn't going to do it. If he was going to win this tournament, he was either going to do it with Pikachu or not at all. Boom started off by taking Isaiah's first stock in the first 10 seconds.
For Boom, but you gotta think, missing that turnaround grab gets a dash attack instead. The tech in place not enough.
Nice.
Boom.
But Isaiah responded by taking Boom's next 4 stocks without losing any of his own. He then clutched out game 2.
Oh my god! Wow, and Boom, Isaiah kind of delays it. I don't know if that was intentional, but Boom misses that up smash for the delay. And that's going to be game 2!
And then cleanly took game 3 to win the set in less than 9 minutes total. Which certainly isn't the fastest set ever by any means, but when considering the fact that it was against Boom, who while also being one of the best players ever, has a reputation for extremely long matches, this is actually insanely fast. With Isaiah making it to Grand Finals on the loser's side, everyone knew this was going to be an insanely difficult task. Karaba had only dropped 3 games in the entire bracket on his way to Grand Finals, against some of the best players in the world, and Isaiah would have to beat him in 6 games across 2 sets in order to win the tournament. This was a huge uphill battle. But then, this happened.
It was like when he's saying, The recovery gets an upsell, then there is no jump. I know it. That he is kind of dancing around these parries now. He knows what to expect. This is a big opportunity here for him. Rampage. Oh, and he starts it off with an up smash combo. With a pivot up tilt. Breaking over and over, and Isaiah takes game one with a full stock left. Oh, no jump here. And that's going to be the first stock. Again, misses a grab. This is huge. Isaiah's doing some work here. Wow, and at 100. Almost got a grab off the side flat there. There's no jump here? There's no jump! 33%. It doesn't. Oh, just all for nothing. Wow. Oh, he missed the Z-cancel. The delay on the up air. So smart. The edge guard here. And a nice little. Gotta ask it as a question. The thunder, the bold hit, but not the. The armor, there goes for the fair, just misses. Oh, that's going to be it.
And we have a 3-0 reset.
Easily. And he starts off strong here using that drill attack. Oh, and he turns around wisely to get Kureba off stage, and that's going to be... Oh, wow, get that nair out. Set chase, but the armor, it doesn't matter because he lands it. The armor is almost gone. Kureba with a horizontal combo. Can he get something going? Perfectly up smash, just misses. Oh, the nair. No jump there. We didn't realize it. Oh, that reverse bear. Let's see what he does with this. Run off to the nair. Oh, and a great hit.
Oh, what? There's no way he meant to do that.
Oh, that slow fall. Kureba bites and goes for that. Oh, my God. Kureba goes for that upper here. Man, having so much success. What spacing to avoid that DJC bear.
Target might be the greatest coach of all time.
That will do it. They get that grab in it. Oh, the get up attack. Down air. And the stage cover on the edge hog.
In winner's quarters to beat him. Just these...
No
smothering
jump.
Edgeguard. He's got the jump, but the upper takes it away. He gets it back when he lands. The backer breaks over, but the sacrifice from Kureba is not enough. 6-0 sweep against the guy that beat him.
Oh, and he lands.
He lost his job. That's it. Isaiah completes the 6-0 sweep and takes his first Smash Guard championship. And he's back on top of the Smash world.
Oh, we can all